Amen. Micah chapter number 7. We're going to start at verse number 8. We're going to skip a few verses, but let's start here at verse number 8. Amen. Familiar passage. It says, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which saith unto me, Where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets." Skipping down to verse number 18, he says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I love those verses right there. You talk about power. That's power right there. Amen. That's power right there. And I'm so glad that's the God that I serve. Amen. I want to preach here for just a few minutes of time this morning. Another chance. Amen. Another chance. Praise God. Would you ask the Lord to help us here today? God of heaven, we love you and we need you. Pray in Jesus that your word, your spirit would help us today. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you this morning. You may be seated. I don't think I have to reiterate and to tell you to, I don't believe that I have to convince you of the awesomeness of the God that we serve, for we do serve a mighty God, serve a God who is above all principalities and powers, a God who is before all, through all, and can be in all of us, a God who was and is to come, a God who is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And the introduction that we simply have of him is in Genesis 1, when it just simply says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. A God that was able to speak, even as Hebrews 11 and 3 says, that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things that do appear. That is the God that you and I serve. That before there was matter, there was God. Before there was universes and such, there was God. And in the middle of all of this, as he creates the heavens and the earth, and he establishes dominion, and he establishes his will, the Bible says that the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man that he had formed. I'm just talking to you, amen, about the goodness of God. That God saw fit to make a man, but not just that, he prepared a place for the man even before he created the man. The man was not in a place of a wilderness. The man was not in a dry and barren, uninhabited, desolate area of matter, of darkness, of light, or whatever. But there was a place that was prepared for the man. A place that would later be called the Garden of Eden. A place where four rivers would flow out of, and that every color and every animal and every tree and every piece and manifestation of life would inhabit that garden. There was no smog. There was no pollution. There was none of those things, just the pristine, beautiful, and crisp air, amen, that even you and I got to partake of this morning, as it felt like 35 degrees and it was only 42, but it felt absolutely most wonderful. Praise God. Amen, amen. The Bible says that the Lord took the man and put him into that garden that he had created for it. And there he established the ways of man and the things that man could do, and even the thing that man was not supposed to do, to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For he told the man, he said, in the day that you eat of it, and then he personified himself as a God of judgment. He said, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And then the Lord looked at him and said, you know what, I'm going to make this even better. I'm going to make this a better deal. I'm going to sweeten the pot just a little bit. The Bible said that the Lord looked upon him and said, it is not good for man to be alone, and I will make him and help meet for him. Amen. Let me speak to all of you 20 years old. It's not good for you to be alone. Praise God, praise God. God's got to help meet somewhere for you. You just got to find her. Amen. You may have to get out of Augusta. You may have to get out of Wichita. Praise God. But you can find her. God's created it. Amen. God said that's the way that it's designed to be. I'm going to make you a help meet. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so Adam and Eve were placed into that garden. And we know what would eventually happen. I do not know how much time expired throughout the ages, whether it was days, whether it was years, or whether that even time was measured. Let me rephrase that. Time was measured, for the Bible said that the evening and the morning were the first day, and that the moon ruled by night and the sun ruled by day. And so time was measured. We just don't know how much time had eclipsed beyond this. But there was a time that Adam and Eve failed. They came short of what God had asked them to do and told them to do. And finding themselves naked and in want, and then hearing the voice of God as it cried out in the cool of the day. I believe that not only was their nakedness a concern for them, that they were ashamed of their nakedness, but I feel personally that they were ashamed because of their failure. Amen. Because that they had messed up, and that God had given them everything that an individual could hope for. Everything that an individual could desire, God had given it unto them, and they had come up short. They had failed God in this, and God would meet them, and they would begin to imagine, what is a God of judgment going to look like? I only see a God of mercy. I only see a God of goodness. I only see a God of blessing. I only see a God of wonderment and amazement. And I wonder what a God of judgment is going to look like. I wonder, as they would feel to themselves and maybe question to themselves, what is death? The Lord said, in the day that we eat of this, we shall surely die. Imagine as they began to imagine, what all does death encompass? How is it going to feel? What is it going to be like? And so as the Lord began to speak to them and began to clothe them and began to pronounce the curses upon each of them and the judgment upon them, and they were there in their shame And there in their condemnation, as they sat even with their heads hung, and then they were ushered out of the garden. They experienced death in the way that God had provided or had made for them. We look at death in a different way, and we think that the Lord, thou shalt surely die. In other words, they just stop breathing. They fall over dead. There's no more life with inside of them. And I know that physically they began the process of death, and spiritually they had died. But I want you to see the mercy of God as it comes through even the what they had done wrong. The hand of mercy pierces the judgment and reaches through and gives them another opportunity. It may not have been the opportunity that they originally had, but God gave them another opportunity. God turned around and he looked over the garden and he saw the tree of life there, and he instantly knew that if they partake of that tree in their fallen condition, they will never, amen, be able to live, never be able to experience what they need to. They're going to be locked in their sin forever and ever. Mercy took Adam and Eve by the hand and led them out of the garden into another land. Mercy called an angel about and beckoned him and said, stand guard and don't let them come in, because this will be to their detriment and lock them in forever. Amen. For the Lord said, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever in that fallen condition. Praise God. Amen. It was the mercies of God that reached through all of this and provided. Somewhere or another, we would see that Adam and Eve would follow after the pattern that God had provided there, even in the Garden of Eden, as the lamb was slain and coats were made, and they would continue through the process of time in their sacrifices unto the Lord, teaching the ways of God unto their children. And Genesis 4 says that in the process of time that Cain and Abel brought sacrifices unto the Lord. Amen. There was a time that Cain and Abel brought forth, amen, blood sacrifices. But today Cain brings forth something other than what God hath commanded for him. Praise God. Amen. And so we see a God that is established from Genesis all the way through Revelation. Not just a God of judgment, but we see the God of a second chance. And time would prohibit us from talking all, amen, that God gave a second chance to. But let me just give you the names of some of those, such as he gave Samson another chance. He gave Jonah another chance. And he gave Peter another chance. And if we are honest with ourselves, we would say that we are here today because that God has already given us a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance. Amen. We would have to stand and testify and say, God has been good to us. Why don't we just do that right now and thank God for his goodness? Oh, hallelujah. You weren't perfect and you aren't perfect. Amen. And we're not justifying sin, but God has been good to us. Praise God. In the book of Lamentations, chapter number 3 and verse number 21. Amen. He said, this I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Amen. The Bible said that the mercies of the Lord, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Every morning God looks and says it just like this. Hey, today. Let's forget about yesterday and let's start all over. You may have been proud of yesterday. You may have been ashamed of yesterday. Amen. God may say, let's build on yesterday, but let's start all over. You may be ashamed of yesterday, but God looks down and says, hey, you know what? Let's just forget about yesterday and let's get busy today doing what's right. You may have failed miserably today, yesterday, but today is a brand new day. Today, new mercies raise up, amen, with the sun. Today, new mercies follow after you. God is still good to his people. One of the most intriguing verses in my, according to my opinion, in the Bible, Psalms chapter number 37, verses 23 and 24. The Bible said that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You stop and just think about that, and that is absolutely mesmerizing. Amen. That the steps of the Lord, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. In other words, God said, look, this is what I want you to do today. I want you to take 10 steps. I want you to stop right three, walk 3 steps to your right, turn back to your left and go 15 steps. I want you to turn back to the left, go 5 steps, turn back to the right, and I want you to just say, what did he all do? He directed me around an issue. He erected me around a problem. He directed me around, amen, a challenge. He directed me around a temptation. And if I trust in him with all of my heart, amen, and lean not to my own understanding, but in all of my ways acknowledge him, he shall direct my path. Just say, I keep tripping, I keep stumbling. Stop and listen to the Lord, because if you will listen to him, amen, he will lead you around some things. He'll tell you to stop, take a big step, amen, and if you don't take a big step, you're going to falter, amen, but the Lord knows how to direct your path, and the Bible said that he delights in your way. There is a God with a smile upon his face that looks at the devil and says, when they're listening to me, you can't beat them. Amen. When they're obeying what I tell them to obey, you can't get them. Amen. I'm director. You set the trap and I'm directing them around it. You set the snare and I just call them to step over it. I delight in the ways of my people. I direct their steps. Praise God. I'm talking about a good God. I'm talking about a good God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, he's done that for you many times. You may not have understood everything that he was doing. You may not have understood his ways. His ways may not have made any sense to you whatsoever at all. But when you look back at it and you think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you, your soul just wants to cry out, hallelujah, God has been good to you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now listen to the next part of this. It says, though he fall. Though he fall. God doesn't have unreal expectations for you. God knows you're going to falter. God knows you're going to fall. That's why he's going to be there to pick you back up. That's what it says. Though he fall, God said, I'm not going to utterly cast him down. Now, that's what man will do to you. When you falter and fall, they want to kick you. They want to kick dirt in your face. They want to laugh at you and scorn at you. What did our text say? In Micah chapter number 7 and verse number 10, it said, then she that is mine enemy shall see it. And shame shall cover her, which saith unto me, where is the Lord thy God? That's what other men would like to do to you when you falter and fall. Amen. They want to throw dirt in your face. They want to kick dirt in your face. They want to throw accusations at you. They want to question and challenge you. Where's your God now? I thought God loved you. Amen. Praise God. Said, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Now look at the next part. This is the most intriguing to me. as I stated, in all of the Bible, this is the one of the most intriguing verses to me. It just simply says, "For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Is that what it says? "For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Let's do a little theology here for a moment of time. When you're reading your Bible, you have words that are in regular font, and you have words that are italicized. Does anybody know what the italicized words are? They're added. They're added words for better understanding. All right? So we all understand that. So the Bible says, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Somebody tell me what the italicized words are in that verse. Him and with. I didn't catch you, Sister Worthson. I'm deaf. Him and with. I want you to go back with me for just a second. There was a man by the name of Moses. All right? Brother Gavin, come play Moses. Now, you got to be right here. Moses got tired. And so they said, "Moses, sit down on the rock. You have to come play. You choose, Aaron or her." That's good. Come on. Not H-E-R, H-U-R. All right, you're on that side. Go right here. All right? Now, the Bible said that as long as Moses, you can stand up. Yeah, we have to stand up. We're not privileged. The Bible said that as long as Moses' hands were in the air, that down in the valley, Joshua was winning the battle, right? But Moses' hands got tired and weary, and they began to hang down. And as they hung down, Joshua down in the valley started losing. And somebody say, "Get your hands up!" And he'd get his hands up, and Joshua would start winning. And he had tired, and his hands would start. We got a solution for the problem. It's called Aaron and her. And as long as they kept Moses' hands up, Joshua just kept winning until he had won. Problem fixed, right? Now that's what that verse says. Read it. That's exactly what that verse says. "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down." Take out the italicized. "For the Lord," you can sit down. "For the Lord upholdeth his hands." God says, "You're not going to lose." Thank you. "You're not going to lose. You may be weary, but I'm going to hold your hands up. You may be tired, but I'm going to hold your hands up. You don't even have a choice in this. I want you to win. I want you to be an overcomer. I want you to be more than a conqueror. I'm going to see to it. Amen. When you think that you have no help and you think that you can't make it, I'm going to step in and I'm going to hold up your hands. When your hands get weary and they begin to falter and fall and you feel like you're losing, the Lord God steps in and gets a hold of each hand and holds them up, and victory comes to the child of God who trusts in the Lord and lets the Lord direct his paths. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and God delights in his ways." Oh, thank you, Jesus. Talking about a good God. Talking about a good God. You faltered, you failed. But God doesn't come down there and kick you. He comes down there and picks your hands up. Amen. Gives you a new lease on life. Now, let's go back to the book of Genesis, chapter number 4. And we look at this man by the name of Cain. Now, if you read this too quickly, you bypass the hand of mercy that's in there. If you read it too quickly, you miss what God offered. Cain messed up. And the Bible said that he was very, very wroth with the Lord. And his countenance had fallen. The Bible said there in verse number 5, Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. Now here comes the Lord unto Cain. And he asked Cain a question. He said, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? You know, this sounds kind of crazy. I don't know that I'm going to finish this today. But this sounds kind of crazy. But the Lord is pondering something. I don't get it. I asked for a sacrifice of blood. You bring a sacrifice of fruits and vegetables. And you say that I ought to accept it. Let me remind you something, Cain. I cursed the ground. I cursed the ground. And now you're trying to bring me something from the ground and say that I've got to accept it. I've already cursed the ground. No matter how pretty, how delicate, how beautiful that you make it to seem and how much you think that it ought to be accepted and stuff, it's already established this is the waste. Why are you angry at that? Why is your countenance fallen? Why are you mad at me for breaking my rule, thinking that I ought to accept it? You know, that's the way sometimes that God approaches us. God's like, I'm doing everything that I can to help you, and now you're trying to make your own ways, and you stubbed your toe, and you skinned your knee, and you messed yourself up, and now you're mad at me. I directed your steps. I told you what to do, and you didn't do it. Why are you mad at me? I told you 5 steps forward, 5 steps to the right, 5 steps forward, 5 steps to the left, 5 steps. I did everything, and you didn't listen to what I told you to do. You fell and you messed up, and now you're upset with me. I don't understand. Now, what is the very next words that he says? Brother Joshua, read to me there. That's all I need right there. What did he say? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? You know what God was doing there? Come on, bud, get up. Let's try this again. Come on, that's exactly what. Look, I'm going to give you a second chance. I'm not kicking you. I'm not shoving you to the curb. I'm not through with you. I'm not over. You see that God never was. God even hid Cain. You know, some people walk around like this, like, they're afraid of God beating them over the head. God is for you. God wants to hold your hands up. God just wants you to listen. Because God sees the potholes, the traps, the snares, the temptations. God sees all of that, and he's trying to direct you around it and to help you. That's how much he cares. That's how much he loves you. Amen. But you just, what did he tell Paul? What did he tell you? He said, Paul, is it hard to kick against the pricks? Here you are, Paul. You're just sitting there, just back up. Try it again. Paul, you just do what I tell you to do. You have a whole lot more comfortable life. What do you want me to do? All right, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go straight forward, all the way down to the preacher's house. When you get to the preacher's house, he'll tell you what you need to do. That's grace. That's mercy. Oh, man, what a God of a second chance. Man, you know what? A lot of Christians, woo, Jesus, a lot of Christians had already wrote Paul off. Uh-huh. They had already written Paul off. The Lord stepped in and shined a bright light and said, no, Paul, I didn't write you off. I'm going to give you another chance here. Let's see if you can fix this. Let's see if you can do it right. And Paul did. Amen. Praise God. That's not in my notes. That's just free. Amen. But you see here that God looked down at Cain and he told Cain, he said, now look, I seen what you did. I see what you wanted me to do. And that's just not going to happen because I'm God, you're Cain. All right? We get this straight. I'm God, you're Cain. You kind of got this flipped around right now. You feel like you're God telling me what to do. No, I'm God, you're Cain. Now, but here's what we're going to do. If you will do well, I'll accept what you've got. All right? Let's try this again. Let's try this again. And you know what Cain did? Here's something that we need to take note. When you are angry with God, you oftentimes are going to miss the opportunity that God is trying to give you. You're angry with everything that's happened in your life. Oh, I feel the Lord here right now. You're halfway blaming God for everything that's going on when you haven't listened to anything that he has said. I know you want to argue with that and you want to say, oh, I am listening. No, you're not. You're doing what you want to do when you want to do it, and you got a problem with God. And God's standing up there saying, I'm directing your paths. I'm delighting in your ways. I'm picking you up. I'm lifting your hands up. And yet you want to be upset with me because you're trying to do your own thing, go your own way, and make it work your own way. And you're upset with me because I haven't changed things in your life. And I'm trying to direct you to a good life, but you're just sitting here just kicking against the bricks, doing your own thing. Amen. When you are angry with God and your countenance is not right, you are going to be susceptible to looking past, over, and through the opportunity that God is trying to hand deliver to you. God came down to Cain and he said, hey, let's talk about this. I'm not just going to be up in heaven and go silent and let you just try to feed you. I'm coming down to you and I'm talking to you. And you say, well, I wish God would talk to me. I'm here today and I'm not God myself, but the voice of God is speaking to you this morning and trying to help you to understand. Amen. In your anger and your wrath, amen, you're looking past the opportunity that God is presenting unto you. Straighten it up, get it right, and let God lift up your hands and give you another blessed, beautiful opportunity. Oh, let's love him today. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's love him today. Amen. Why don't we just stand here this morning? Hallelujah. I believe that we've gone far enough. I'll finish this another day. Amen. But I believe that God is desiring to help somebody this morning. I believe, amen, that you have had your time with God. And in your anger, in your moment, you have sat there with God and you have shook your head. Amen. You have bowed up your spirit. Your countenance has fallen. Amen. And all of these things. But today the word of God has come down unto you and began to speak to you. And God is saying, hey, I'm a God of another chance. You may have messed up. You may not have done what I told you to do. You may have taken a different route. You may have went a different way. But I'm coming to your life with new mercy this morning. And I want to direct your paths. Oh God, how am I going to get back on the right path? Just listen to me. Amen. This is what we're going to do. We're going to step out of our pew. Amen. And we're going to face down towards the altar. And we're going to walk all the way down to the altar, and when you get to the altar, find a place to pray, and that's where it's going to start. And from the altar, I'll direct your paths, and I'll lead you in the paths of righteousness, and I'll hold your hand, I'll lift you up, and I will delight in your ways. I'm going to teach you how to get over. I'm going to teach you how to get beyond. I'm going to teach you how to get through. If you listen to me and let me direct your paths, I'll give you a new mercy in the morning, and I'll be there on Tuesday with a brand new load of mercy. I'll help you every day, leading you and guiding you. But find a place at the altar and just start off by saying, okay, God, change my spirit, change my attitude. Oh God, don't let me look at this in wrath, don't let me look at this with temper, but oh God, I want to see the opportunity that you are handing me, the opportunity that you are extending unto me, and I want to make the most of the opportunity that you're giving. Come on. Come on. It's easy to say God's the God of a second chance. Amen. It's more than a second chance. He's the God of another chance. Because sometimes I need more than a second chance. I need more than a third or a fourth chance. I need another chance. And the God of mercy is there. Every morning his mercies are brand new. And Micah said, who is God? Like un is a God like unto thee. God, there is no God that is like you. You delight in mercy and you will turn again. You will turn again and you will have compassion on me and you will subdue our iniquities and you will cast our sins into the depths of the sea with another chance. Oh, thank the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's forget about last week. Come on, let's forget about Thursday. Let's forget about what happened on Monday. Let's forget about that. Don't let your past dictate unto you what your future is going to be like. You've got a God that goes beyond all of that. He's the God of another chance. Not just a second chance. Oh, I've failed God so many times. Amen. I just don't feel worthy. Amen. Come on, let God decide that, not the devil. Let God decide that, not you. He's come back down unto you. He's come back down unto you. Amen. Come on. If you will do well, I'll hear you. If you'll do well, I'll listen. If you will do well, I will accept. But let me direct your paths. Let me order your steps. Let me order your steps. Let me teach you the paths of righteousness. Let me lead you in the ways of righteousness. Let me hold your hand. Let me direct you. Oh, and it's not a moment of I'm big enough. No, God, I want you again today. I want you again today. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Jesus, come on, pour your heart out to the Lord. Hallelujah, come on, even when you don't see him. Amen. When you don't understand the ways of God, just take note and that the Bible says you're not going to understand it. Amen. God didn't leave us there to be confused by it. Amen. He put in his word that his ways are above our ways and his thoughts are above our thoughts. Amen. God sees further. God knows more. God understands better. You just got to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all of thy ways acknowledge him, and God shall direct your paths. Amen. You're sitting there with hesitation. You're sitting there with animosity. You're sitting there with anxiety. I don't know. I'm not for sure about this. I just don't. I've just got my concerns. I've got my questions. I'm a little bit hesitant about this. I'm a little bit nervous about this. Come on, trust God. Trust God. God's reaching his hand down. God's saying, come on, take my hand. I'll work it all out. I'll make it all better. I'll do it. You're just going to have to follow after me. You're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to even understand that when I say go, you've got to go. When I say stop, you've got to stop. When I say turn, you've got to turn. And if you'll listen to me, I'll help you through life. If you'll listen to me, I'll take you through this trial. If you'll listen to me, I'll hold your hand through this battle and we'll come through victorious on the other side. And I'm going to delight in your ways because you're going to come forth as gold, pure gold. Amen. Tried by the fire, but you came through. God of another chance. God of another chance. Oh, Jesus. Come on, he's the God of another chance.
It's a yes through the gears, through the the laughter and the tears, my answer is yes, Lord.